Hi, friends. This is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying discipleship training in Luke's Gospel, and this is the prologue. Chapter 1 of Luke, verses 1 through 4. As we begin, let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would open up our hearts, that we'll start to understand this book of Luke that you put before us. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have of studying. We rely on you, O Holy Spirit, to help us sift, to find the things most important to your heart and implant them in our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's examine Luke's gospel briefly. First, what we do know. The gospel according to Luke is volume 1 in a 2-volume work, which also includes the Acts of the Apostles. Luke approaches his gospel as history rather than myth and seeks to give his readers an orderly account based on the testimony of eyewitnesses to the events. Now let's take a quick look at what we don't know. We won't spend much time speculating. There are whole books devoted to speculation about the Gospel of Luke. But readers. Luke seems to be writing to readers somewhat removed in geography and time from the Holy Land. While Matthew is clearly written to answer the interests of Jewish Christians, Luke seems to be more directed toward Gentile Christians. Sources. Luke is one of the so-called synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that contain a good deal of material in common with each other. The gospel writer seems to have access to the Gospel of Mark, but in addition, he includes some material in common with Matthew and another set of events not recorded in either of the other gospels. Author. Though the gospel itself does not tell us, church tradition, as far back as 120 AD, unanimously ascribes this gospel to Luke, the beloved physician, a traveling companion of St. Paul's. Recent attempts to discredit Luke and authorship are unconvincing. Date. While the Gospel of Luke displays an interest in the fall of Jerusalem, Acts seems to conclude before AD 70, when Jerusalem fell. Probably Luke was written in the 60s AD prior to 70 AD. The place of composition could be Achaia or Rome, Antioch or Caesarea. We are not sure. Themes. Some of the themes that this gospel develops are the good news of salvation, salvation for all men, and Jesus' claims on disciples who would follow him. The message might be summed up in the words, Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Language. We'll spend some time examining the words of the text. While Luke wrote in fairly elegant Koine Greek, Jesus himself probably spoke and taught in Aramaic, a language closely related to Hebrew. Though the Greek text doesn't tell us all the nuances of the original Aramaic, it is the closest we have to Jesus' actual words, so we'll try to gain as accurate an understanding of word meanings as we are able. Translation. Many excellent English translations exist, but for this study, I'll be using the New International Bible, widely acclaimed for its readability as well as accuracy. Where words differ from the traditional King James Version, I'll note those differences as well. I find it important to look up and to pass on to you exact meanings of the most important key words. For the most part, I'll be quoting from the standard Greek-English lexicon of the New Testament and other early Christian literature, 3rd edition, 2000 AD, abbreviated BDAG. So you get the benefit of fairly recent scholarship with regard to the meanings of the Greek words. This may seem a bit pedantic at times, but I think you'll appreciate the accuracy with which you'll understand each passage. Now let's turn to the gospel itself and begin to look deeply and carefully into it. In this lesson, let's consider Luke's prologue or introduction to the gospel to get an idea of his purpose and approach to this account of Jesus' life. I'm reading from Luke 1, 1 and 2, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. The phrase draw up or set forth in order translates the Greek verb anatasomai, literally arrange in proper order. Figuratively, to organize in a series, draw up, compose, compile a narrative. The word account or declaration is the Greek noun diegesis, an orderly description of facts, events, actions, or words, narrative, account. It is related to the verb diegeomai, to give a detailed account of something in words, tell, relate, describe. Luke acknowledges the existence of other gospels circulating among the churches. Mark's gospel was probably available to Luke and perhaps other source documents, but he sees the need for yet another account, arranged in proper order, accurate, and more comprehensive than what had been available so far. In fact, Luke's gospel includes several chapters that have no parallel in the other synoptic gospels. In the phrase, the things that have been fulfilled among us, fulfilled or more surely believed is the Greek verb plerophoreo, which can have two meanings, fill completely, fulfill. Our lexicographer suggests a meaning in our verse of accomplished, the things that have been accomplished among us. It can also mean convince fully, but probably doesn't in this context. Next, Luke discusses his sources who were actual eyewitnesses to the events. The Greek noun is autoptes, eyewitnesses, seeing with one's own eyes. But to make sure these eyewitnesses aren't perceived as mere spectators, he also describes them as servants of the word. Servants or ministers is the Greek noun hyperetes, often used in rabbinical writings as a technical term for a government or other official, one who functions as a helper, frequently in a subordinate capacity, helper assistant. John Mark was an assistant of Paul and Barnabas, we find in Acts 13:5. The word refers to servants, officials, and soldiers of the high priest, temple, and king, and a synagogue attendant or official in Luke's gospel. Twice, the apostles are termed servants or officials of Christ. But what is the word, Greek logos, of which they are servants? It is the gospel message, the teaching of Jesus that they serve. Rengsdorf asserts that they were not propagandists for their own views of what happened with Jesus, but had unreservedly put their persons and work in the service of Jesus' cause. Luke has personally spoken to many of these eyewitnesses who have faithfully delivered to him and other Christians the good news about Jesus. Handed down or delivered is the Greek verb paradidomai, which in this context means to pass on to another what one knows of oral or written tradition. Hand down, pass on, transmit, relate, teach. When you are reading the Gospel of Luke, or the entire New Testament for that matter, you are reading the teaching of the original apostles, passed directly to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who wrote it down. Many believe that John the Apostle himself wrote the Gospel of John. The New Testament is authoritative because of its source. Jesus Christ, to the apostles, to the gospel writers. The New Testament is authoritative because it is the apostolic teaching. Unlike some ancient documents which have been passed down from one generation to another in oral form, with the New Testament, there is a clear and direct transmission process. Luke was an associate who traveled with Paul, and as such spoke with many of the eyewitnesses directly. In fact, the earliest synoptic gospels were put down on paper within the lifetimes of the actual eyewitnesses. That is why the church has always cherished and revered these documents. Now Luke talks a bit about his process of investigation. Verse 3, therefore I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning. Investigated, or having understanding, is the Greek verb parakalotheo, which at its basic level means follow. In this context, it means to pay careful attention to something in a segment of time. Follow a thing, follow a course of events, take note of. The lexicographer translates this clause with a firm grasp of everything from the beginning. Carefully, perfect, translate the adverb akribos, akribos, pertaining to strict conformity to a standard or norm, with focus on careful attention, accurately, carefully, well. Luke, a careful medical practitioner, is also careful about the process of preparing an authentic account of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Continuing verse 3, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, O most excellent Theophilus. Who is this Theophilus? We don't know. Theophilus means lover of God. Luke addresses him with the words most excellent, using the adjective kratistos, superlative of kratu, strong, mighty, a strongly affirmative honorary form of address, most noble, most excellent. It is used before highly placed officials, but also as a form of polite address without any official connotation. Was Theophilus a convenient symbol or a real person? We can't know for sure, but it is likely he is a real person, perhaps Luke's literary patron who will assist with the publication of the gospel. Theophilus is also named in the preface to the second volume in the series, Acts. Acts 1:1-2. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. So in the preface to Luke, it reads, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, O most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Luke's method is to write the narrative in sequential fashion. Orderly or in order, the Greek adverb kathexes, pertaining to being in sequence in time, space, or logic, in order, one after the other. Luke's purpose is that Theophilus can be confident that what he has been taught has its basis in historical fact. The verb taught is the Greek verb katekeo, instruct, teach, from which we get our English word catechism. The word know is the common Greek verb epignosko, to have knowledge of something or someone, know. Certainty is the Greek noun asphaleia. This is an interesting word that comes from the verb svalo, to make someone fall or trip. Adding the prefix a negates that idea as security against stumbling or falling. Here the noun refers to stability of an idea or statement, certainty, truth. Have you ever wondered if this story about Jesus is really true? Have you ever looked for certainty? Ever wanted to know whether your faith is based on your hopes and dreams or on solid historical reality? Then Luke is not just writing an orderly, researched eyewitness account for Theophilus, but for you too. As the narrative unfolds, Luke makes it abundantly clear that the story of Jesus is not a timeless Christ myth, but an historically accurate account of an amazing teacher, prophet, and Lord who lived in the time, the geography, and the culture of first century Palestine. It is an account you can believe and sink your teeth into, a story that will change your life. I invite you in successive weeks to walk with Jesus through the pages of Luke's account. I invite you to meet him and get to know him intimately, just as the first disciples did. And in the process, I invite you to become his disciple too. I invite you on a Jesus walk. Let's pray. Father, we are 20 centuries removed from Jesus' earthly life, but we want to know him, what he was like, what he said, how he lived and died and was raised. Thank you that we possess in the Gospel of Luke an historically accurate document. Build our faith as we read the gospel. Make us every bit as much your disciples in this 21st century as they were the disciples of the first century. Teach us to follow too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll find in each lesson a key verse and also some discussion questions which you can use to think about deeply what you've just read. Perhaps write them down in a journal, some answers. Or could be used as the basis of a discussion in a class or small group. May God richly bless you as you serve Him today. Amen.